I'm so delighted that Martin's able to be here. He's a great man of God, a man that we've heard preach before, and I just was so enthusiastic to get him along. He's a gentle man of God, but he has this ability to stuff the word of God down your throat gently, and I think that's the way it should be done. But I just really, truly know that God will bless you. Can I ask today, incidentally, did you know today is Pentecost Sunday? Actually, if Keith stands up, probably been drawn to the fact that it's Pentecost Sunday. Look at that. He deserves a round of applause for that, doesn't he? What a shirt. So, Martin, just to begin with, can you tell people who you are, where you're from, how many kids you've got, and what God's doing in your life at the moment?
Yeah.
And I'll pray for you after that.
Hi. Good morning. Nice to see you all. Thank you for inviting us. I'm married to Margaret, who's just gone out there. We've got 9 kids, believe it or not. I don't know how it happened. I think we just started and forgot to finish. But anyway, we've got quite a few of them with us today. The big guy with me is Christian. He's from Estonia.
Hi, Christian. Give him a round of applause. Welcome.
He's working with me and travelling with me a bit at the moment. So he's not my son. Not my physical son, anyway. But and then I've got a couple of other big ones. One's at home who's a bit sick with pooliness. Joseph, he's 19. And Ruth is married to Andrew Newlove. I think some of you might know them from the Christian bikers scene. But obviously they don't live at home. And at the moment I'm travelling as an evangelist. I've done that for the last 3 years. Worked for a lot of years full-time as a member of a staff of a church. The Oakwood Centre in Teesside for 15 years. And then about 3 years ago, God just woke me up in the middle of the night. Spoke to me, said, you're not going to work for any church, you're going to work for the church, which I took to mean, across all denominations and streams, which was something unusual for me. I'd worked primarily in the house church, alone, Salt and Light and a bit of New Frontiers and, some Pentecostal churches. But and that's basically what's happened, and he wanted us to live by faith and, step out of being paid salary by the church. And so that was a big step, obviously, with 9 kids. But God's been amazingly good to us, and it's been exciting. So, yeah, travelling different nations, and it's a team of guys who work with me, and very much across all different denominations now. Catholics, Catholic Charismatics in Italy and Sardinia, and the ultra-Pentecostal Gypsy Church in Spain, and just about everything in between. So it's been amazing 3 years, really. It's just interesting, and feels like it's just beginning as well, so... Yeah. Exciting.
There's a great move of God amongst the gypsy fraternity, isn't there?
There is, yeah, absolutely.
I've had 2 occasions now where I've pulled up on my bike in a garage to fill up, and guys have got out of these cars and pickups looking really tough. And they come up and shook my hand and put their arms around me because they want to share the fact, when they've seen the cross on my back as I ride, that they're Christians as well, and they're involved in masses of gypsy churches all around Europe.
Yeah, amazing.
Wonderful. Right, well, I'm going to pray for Martin now, and then he's going to bring God's word to us. Let's pray, shall we? Yeah. Father, thank you that it doesn't rely upon mere man to bring your word, that it will impact our hearts. But we are just vessels for you, and I know this man is a vessel of honour. And I pray today, in Jesus' name, that you will cast from his mind and his heart anything that is of him, and that, Lord, you will fill him with all the fullness of you,
yes, Lord.
That your anointing upon him will mean that he will even stand back and listen to your words that come from his mouth and impact his heart as well. We pray that you will make us receptive, that you bless his family as they're in Sunday school, some of them, and Margaret, his wife, will be blessed in also in that place.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, just meet with us now. Come
thank
down
you.
In that Holy
thank
Spirit,
you, Father.
Shower of blessing.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Mike. Well, great morning to preach Pentecost Sunday. Who would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit today? Who wants God? Someone rang me up recently. Someone sent me an email. I haven't seen them I can't even remember who they are, to be honest. At least 20 odd years ago. And they said, you don't know whether you remember me from Oxford? I thought, I don't know. But they said, I had a dream about you the other day that you were studying in a school. And I don't think it did school. Oh, I'm not sure, actually. Anyway, stood in a school. And someone else had a similar picture about me being in a school in Liverpool. Don't know what that was. But and that you stood at the front and said, who wants God? And everyone said, we do. And they all ran forward. So let's hope that's a bit of that this morning. But it's great to know that we can have Do you know what the scary thing and the wonderful thing is? That we can have as much of God as we actually want. We can, because heaven is open. Jesus has paid the price for us to be absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's no sin that God can't forgive. And there's no dryness that he can't absolutely refresh. That's always his heart towards us. Our Father loves us and wants to give us the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus continually challenges his disciples, look, ask. Ask and you'll be filled. Just ask. Ask for more. Do you think there's more of God for you? That's the question. Do you think there's more in God for you? More power for you? More life for you? There just is, isn't there? You know there is. I know there is for me. I've just had an amazing privilege of going to Canada. And one of the things we did, me and the guy who was with me, was we booked in for this tour to Niagara Falls. And, this guy was actually from Zimbabwe. So Niagara Falls didn't look that good to him, because he was used to Victoria Falls, which is just massive. But Niagara Falls, he looked and he said, is that it? But to me, it was like awesome, you know, this massive, massive waterfall. All this powerful, millions of gallons of water flowing over. And we went on the Maid of the Mist, and, this boat that goes right up to the falls. And I'd seen it on Bruce Almighty, you know, and thought that the Maid of the Mist sort of goes next to the falls. But I didn't realise that it heads right into the falls. And the power of the water is so great that it has to have the engines full blast, forcing its way towards the falls just to get near. And so it doesn't go sideways, it goes head on. And the power of the engines are pushing in to this waterfall. And I think that's what we can be like this morning, don't you? Pushing into this waterfall of God, pushing into this ever-flowing stream of living water that flows from the throne of God. And our engines are just repentance and faith, aren't they? I think we've done the repentance bit. Mike's covered that well. And it's just faith now. So I want to just encourage your faith now to believe that you can walk out of this room absolutely full of God. Full of God, you can. And that's his will. And if you just open up, you can have it. And you know, on this Maid of the Mist, they give you these raincoats that are useless. Because you come so close to the falls. The power of it is awesome. It's shaking the boat. Everyone's shaking. Video cameras are useless. They're all soaking anyway. But I've tried to get some. You can just see my finger keep rubbing the lens. But everything just gets soaked from the spray. Soaked. Right through under everything. You're just soaked. I don't know why they give you the coats. But it's just so awesome. Everyone's like shaking and no one's bothered. Because you come so close to this awesome, powerful river. This awesome, powerful river. And I think that's how God wants us to be. All you need to do is get close enough and just stay there. And you just get drenched. You just can't help but be affected by the presence of this river. You're just overwhelmed by it. You're affected. God's river is his Holy Spirit. Jesus said. And I loved that bit where Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I always saw like the Tees, you know, a nice river, or a big, you know, fairly big river, but or a small stream. I always had a stream flowing from me. But that's been blown away by this trip to Niagara. Now when I pray, I just think, yeah, I want a Niagara River coming out of me, God. I think Jesus was a Niagara or a Victorian Falls, do you? I think what flowed out of Jesus was enough to satisfy all the crowds and just blow them away. And blow away all opposition and Satan and everything. What an awesome, powerful river flowed from Jesus. That's the river he's offering us. That's the river he's offering us. It is. There's more of God for us. There is. And our Father in heaven wants to give us more. And I want to just speak to you about the goodness of our Father in heaven. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit is directly linked to this. That's why Jesus kept saying, if you who are fathers, even though you're evil, he was never a diplomat, was he? Even though you lot are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father And Jesus is like saying, oh, if only you knew him, you'd just be asking all the time. He's so good, so generous, so merciful. You just need to get asking. Ask and your joy will be full. Ask. Look, ask. And so I pray now that you be asking right now. Don't wait. The Holy Spirit falls, doesn't he? He didn't wait for Peter to finish his sermon in Cornelius' house. Because those guys were hungry. And they were asking and asking. And Peter had to cut his message short. Bring those days back, Lord. Where we can't preach because there's so much happening. And come, Holy Spirit. Why don't you just ask him now? Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we just ask you right now. That throughout this time together, Pentecost Sunday, we want Pentecost experience. We want to be filled, overwhelmed by your presence and power, Lord. Help us. As we listen to these words, be filling us now. We choose now to stand under the Niagara of your love, Lord. We push in and stand in your presence now. Come, Lord. Amen. I just want to look at this scripture, which is fascinating and powerful, and to do with the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus. Let's look at Jesus' baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's in Matthew chapter 4. You know Jesus is going to be baptized by John. And John's in the queue baptizing everyone. All of an amazing move of repentance. And they're all out confessing their sins. There's a big queue of people. The biggest thing Israel's ever seen. John was the most successful prophet in terms of bringing the nation to repentance ever. The only reason he doesn't look so big is because he stood next to Jesus. But he was big. Jesus said of John, there's no prophet like him. No man born of woman has ever been like him. Which is incredible commendation from Jesus himself. And he would shine very brightly if he wasn't stood next so close to Jesus. You don't see the stars once the sun comes up. That's the point. But John was a very bright star. And the whole nation were out repenting. Everyone's, it's so exciting. Prostitute. Repenting. Tax collector. Jesus. Jesus next in the queue. And John immediately wants to switch round. Oh, you do me. Because I know what you've got. The Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The one who comes after me is more powerful than me. I'm just doing it in water. He's going to do it in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Have you experienced this yet? Have you definitely experienced this yet? Because being charismatic and Pentecostal is not to do with singing songs or lifting your hands up. Or occasionally getting a word, I think I got a picture. It's much more than that. It's putting your life in the hands of Jesus, who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit and with fire, so that you're full of fire. You're in the fire and the fire's in you. You're in the river and the river's in you. And you are transformed, you just are. You're you, but you're a different you. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you a question. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I mean, got under that waterfall to the point where it just takes you under and knocks you under and you come out 3 miles further down than you were. Not just in the mist. I was a bit close. And John, and Jesus says, no, this is the right way for now. He says to John, John says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. Why are you asking me? But Jesus, verse 15, says, let it be this way for now. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened and they saw the Spirit of God descending on him in the form of a dove and resting on him. And a voice from heaven spoke, this is my dearly loved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. You know what happened there, that Jesus overcame the devil and was sustained by faith in God. He was taught faith, which is what the Holy Spirit comes to teach us. He's taught to live by faith and not by bread alone. By the word of God and living on that. And then he comes out of the desert and you know, he hears that John, who's just baptized him, has been arrested. There's like a vacant spot. And Jesus starts to preach. Preaches exactly the same message as John, which is the same message we preach today. repent. The kingdom of God is here. Repent. Our message is repentance for the world. And then he starts his ministry in great power. Those things are very, very significant. Because how you experience the Father's love for you and how you experience the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come on you to make you effective. He comes on you to make you whole and help you know that you're a child of God and brings the relationship with God that we have into absolute reality and intimacy. And how does he do that? He does it the same way he did it for Jesus. There's several things happened to you for Jesus. Four things in particular. One, God spoke out loud. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus received personal affirmation from his Father in heaven. Listen, if Jesus needed that, so do you. What does it make you feel like? And this is part of receiving the Spirit, actually, and receiving the love of God. What does it make you feel like when you know God has spoken to you? Probably all of you know what I'm talking about. It might be through the Bible. It might be scripture that's underlined, but it's really underlined. And you read it four times that day in different places. And the fourth time, you just... Something happens to you, doesn't it? You're just reveling in it. You think, God loves me. God speaks to me. Because you know that when God is speaking to you, you know we've sang about it. The God of all the universe. Why would you think you're me? I don't understand. But that's the point. That's how we get healed. That's how we get love. That's how we get security. God speaks to you. And when he does, this is what goes off inside. I matter. I matter. If Jesus needed that, so do you. I was 40 a couple of years ago. And 40 is like an important birthday, isn't it? Because it's quite an important thing. And my 40th birthday, I remember waking up thinking, thank you, God. You know, I became a Christian when I was 18, so I was sort of thanking God that I did. And didn't wait years and years. And I was saying, thank you, God, I'm 40 today, and lad, die, you know, and just thank you for the gift of my life. Give me another 40 years, Lord. You know, don't let me die in my 40s or 50s. Like, give me another 40 years to preach the gospel and do something worthwhile for you. I've done nothing yet, help me. And all those kind of prayers. I went to church and someone had a prophetic word for me. And they said, oh, Martin, I just believe. I thought, what's my birthday, Lord? And they said, I just see a picture of Noah building an ark. And it's just like you. And God says, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. You'll see what it's all about one day. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that's nice, isn't it? It's nice when you get a word from God. You think, yeah, that's awesome. I had some time with the family. Then later that night, we had a band of brothers meeting. That's the name of the guys who worked together with me. And one of the guys who isn't from our church and wasn't there that morning said, Martin, I've got a word for you. It's your birthday, isn't it? I said, yeah, I thought, here we go. He said, I just see a picture of Noah building his ark. And God's saying to you, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. To be honest, it was the second one that really blessed me. The second time I heard it, I thought, oh, thank you. It's my birthday and my daddy knows it. It's my birthday and the God of all the universe sent me a little telegram. Isn't it awesome to hear from God when God says, I love you? That's what you need to hear, actually. That's what you hear behind it. The actual direction and all that. It's secondary. The awesome thing is that he's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. You need to know this. This is the experience of the Holy Spirit. We'd like to pray for you this morning that you experience this. God speaking to you. When was the last time you heard God speak to you? It's not enough just to read your Bible. We don't read the Bible for information. Not we've been Christians as long as some of you guys have. We read the Bible to hear God, don't we? We don't come to church to hear sermons. I don't go to church to hear sermons. I go to church to hear God. And I'll tell you something. If you go to church to hear God, you hear him. Because he's a very good communicator and isn't restricted by the preacher or anything. If you go to hear, you'll hear. If you go to church to hear sermons, you become a sermon sampler. I like it when he speaks. I don't like it when she speaks. I like it when they speak. I don't. What's that got to do with anything? If you go to church to hear God, you will hear God. because your Father loves you and wants to speak to you. And when he does, it says to you, I matter. It's awesome to think of your Father say he loves you. You know, when our kids are born, I always have this little tradition. While the nurse is looking after Margaret, obviously I've had a chance to do this a few times, I take the little baby and I look at them and I say, I'm your dad and I love you. And then I sing this little song. It's an old pop song, some of you might know it. It's a bit cheesy really, but it goes like this. I love you, I appreciate you, over and over again, I love you. And the little baby's going. And then later on when they're getting bathed, and you know, a couple of months later they're getting bathed and they're crying and they're all upset, and I keep doing this, you know, and I'll take them in the bedroom and wrap them in a towel. They'll be all crying, and I'll say, I'm your dad. And they just go quiet, they go, and I love you. I love you. Sing a little song. You know, you never get too old for that, do you? You don't. When my kids are in trouble at school, 8, 9, 10 year olds, unhappy, trouble, anxious, I stroke the hair on the bed, and we're chatting about things, and I say that again. You know what, son? I'm your dad. And I watch them go quiet, because it resonates something right back. And I love you. I love you. I appreciate you. It doesn't solve all the issues, but what it does say is this. At the bottom line, I'm loved. I'm loved. Our Ruth and Andrew are married. Was it last May? Last May. And this year, they were dead excited because Ruth became pregnant. And then they lost the baby. And actually, we've never lost a baby. I don't know how big a deal it is for different people, but it was a very big deal for them. They came round our house and they were broken. Broken. And you never get too old for this, do you? Ruth's 20 now. So I put my hands on her face and I said, I'm your dad. And I love you. I love you. I appreciate you. Over and over again, I love you. Listen, God loves you so much. If we knew it, we'd just be we'd never be unhappy again. We'd be blown away. You know this love through the Holy Spirit coming on you and into you. Your daddy God's love. When you read the Gospels, Jesus hardly says a sentence without mentioning his dad. I stand with the Father. I'm with the Father. I speak for the Father. My Father told me, he would say, my dad, my dad, my dad, my dad. We need to know God like that. Jesus longs for us to know God like that. It says the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us. Something happens. Secondly, he manifested his presence. The Holy Spirit not only turned up, he showed up. When Jesus was baptized in that water, they didn't just hear a voice. Something really freaky, supernatural happened. The Spirit appeared. Appeared. We're talking about manifestation of the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit didn't turn up as a silent guest. Silently, secretly moving. Neither did he on the day of Pentecost. Flames appeared. Say it appeared. We're talking about a supernatural kingdom here. Not something made up or that we choose to make ourselves believe. We're talking about absolute, another world connecting with our world. Heaven meets earth and the Holy Spirit comes and all sorts happens. It'd be surprising if you didn't see angels or see something or God manifests. They saw the Spirit come down and he chose to manifest like a dove and landed on him. That's awesome and slightly weird. You know, God appeared in that cloud. He appeared in that pillar of fire. The Holy Spirit manifests. He shows up. This is to do with not communication, but affection. Touch. The touch of God. What does it feel like to be touched by God? What does it feel like to be filled with the love of God? Because it feels like something. What does it feel like to be to be filled with the Holy Spirit or have Jesus breathe on you. You know, after that, I always think about that resurrection. We talked about the Holy Spirit this morning, Pentecost. But Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit before Pentecost. And one of the resurrection appearances. They were already freaked out because Jesus was alive. Imagine. I mean, they just buried him. You can understand that, can't you? Imagine I died and you all buried me. And then you go back to it for a little bit of eats from someone's house, comforting each other. Then you think we're exhausted, we'll go home, come on. You go home exhausted, emotionally wiped out. Someone you love and know has died, it's a big deal. You open, put the key in the door, open the door, and I'm stood in the kitchen. Anyone for tea? You would be absolutely freaked out. And so were the apostles. That's why Jesus said, touch me, touch me, touch me, see, I'm not a ghost. Because you just think ghost, wouldn't you? They thought ghost. Touch me, I'm not a ghost. Look, there's the scars. Have you got any food? Let's eat together. Sit down, calm down. It's me. I'm here. And then he said to them this awesome thing. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I wonder what that looked like. I wonder what that felt like. He didn't breathe on them and say, smell my breath, I've been eating fish. It wasn't his breath. It wasn't his breath. He was saying, receive the Holy Spirit. What do you think happened to them? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But I don't think nothing happened. I think they were probably wiped out on the floor. Or, I think something happened. Because when the God comes on you, something happens. If you stick your fingers into a plug socket, something happens to your body because you're full of power. The apostles on the day of Pentecost were thought of as drunken men. Why? Because they were it was costing them to stand up. Usually when God turns up in the Bible, people aren't stood up. They're on their face or on their back or something. It's overwhelming. Ezekiel, Isaiah, it's overwhelming. The presence of God is overwhelming. So let's not be afraid of manifestations of God. Don't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit have your body and fill you and heal you and touch you, because he wants to affect your body as well. That's his touch. That's God's touch. What do you think it felt like when Jesus touched people? Well, it felt like something. Jesus knew when people had touched him. He said, power's gone out from me. Power? When, if you touch Jesus in faith, you were, whoa, what was that? Power. Oh, I'm healed. Power. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And I don't think it was a religious little, thank you. Next. Thank you. I think they'll have been overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to touch us, and that's part of how we know his love for us. When he touches us, it says, I'm wanted. Touch matters. You know, I heard about a little baby that was born recently that was absolutely tiny, 1 pound 7 ounces. And a couple of months before the baby was born, the dad left the mother. So the father of the mother was sort of asked by the nurse, this wise nurse. She said, look, you're going to be the surrogate dad for this little baby. This little baby was so small. She was called Esther, and she could sit in your hand. And she was an incubator with things in her little tiny little arms and a tube and a little mouth. And this wise nurse said to this dad, the father of the mother, I want you to come in every day, and I want you to take your finger and rub little Esther's body everywhere that you can. Let her experience your touch. And speak to her at the same time and tell her that you love her. This is very important for a survivor. If she's going to survive, she needs this. Wise nurse. She realised the human beings don't survive on bread and water. On telly and entertainment. Human beings survive on one thing only. Love. We need to be loved. We need the touch of our Heavenly Father. We need the finger of God to touch us. Touch us. Touch our emotions. Our hearts are broken. Our lives are wrecked. We're sinners. We've lived in a sinful world. We're damaged. God wants to restore us. How? Through His Holy Spirit. Through His own personal touch more than anything. More than anything. More than advice and books and counselling. All of that in the Holy Spirit maybe. But the Holy Spirit. The touch of God. God wants to touch us today. And when He touches us, it says to us, I'm loved. I'm wanted. Another way that God shows His amazing love through the Holy Spirit is provision. Jesus is immediately filled with the Holy Spirit and immediately sent into a time where He has absolutely nothing and learns faith in a whole new way. Unless God turns up, He's dead. And He's on His own with Satan and He has to learn faith. I think we've been learning that a bit more in our lives. You know, we've lived by faith, don't we? Hopefully all of us. But you know, we learn faith in new ways when we have to trust God. And God loves it when we have to trust Him because He knows there's no gamble really. I mean, God loves us, doesn't He? He's our Father. God wants to take off us the burden today. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. To bring peace. The kingdom of God is not a matter of food and drink, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. He wants to take off us the burden of anxiety to do with provision. He does. Do you let your kids read the bills? No, neither do we. Even if we're in trouble, they're never going to know. Because the kids don't need that on their shoulders. You have a father like that, better than that. Jesus said, don't have any worry. Hey, listen, guys, you're going to follow me, let me tell you something. Don't have any worries about anything ever again. You don't need to worry. My friend's just coming out of the army, been in the army for 9 years. When he signed up, he never had to think about a thing. Once you've signed up in the army, hey, they dress me. They clothe me, they pay me, they feed me. I don't have to worry about another thing. In that respect, provision, taken care of. When you choose to follow Jesus, when you're adopted into the family of God, hey, provision's a done deal. You just need to ask. You just need to believe. You just need to make room for God to provide for you. Stop trying to work it all out and make it happen in the flesh. Step back into your Father's arms. Some of us don't realise God stood right behind us. This morning, God stood right behind us. Instead of pushing forward and making a way, we need to stop and take one step back into our Daddy's arms and let Him have the weight of it. I pray that happens for some of you today. God can provide for you very supernaturally, sometimes scarily. We've got 9 children. 1 month my wages ended like that. And then we were trusting God. God said to me, I don't take any collections of any sponsor forms or anything. Because God, I know that's okay for some people, that's fine. People have charities. God said to me, you're not going to do that. You're going to live by faith. The old way. You speak to me and I'll look after you. And He has. You know, one day Margaret was... Margaret and Luke are together there. Do you want to tell the story, Sly? Do you want to hear it from Margaret? This is a little bit of testimony.
Hello. Well... Now, this was about a year ago in January, last year. Martin was, he had to pay a tax bill for £1,000. And like he said, God had spoken to Martin and asked, you know, that we would live by faith and give up his salary from the church and just pray and trust God. And last January, he had this tax bill to pay. It was £1,000. And we just didn't have the money, you know, believing and trusting God to pay the mortgage and the bills and food and everything like that. And we didn't have this extra money. So, and this particular weekend, our Sam, who was there, he was going away with his friend to Wet n Wild. And he said, Mum, I need a raincoat and some new trainers. And at the time, we literally didn't have anything extra to buy those kind of things because we had this tax bill. And so I was praying to God and said, Lord, you know, So I went to the sports shop to look for some trainers and a raincoat. And I found these trainers for £5 and I thought, oh, that's a good bargain. So I got the trainers and I was looking at the raincoats and there was two different kinds of raincoats. Umbro was the make and there was one that had a zip from the bottom up to the top and there was another one that had a zip from here up to the top there. So I was looking at these two raincoats and I just wondered which one Sam would prefer. And I thought, well, really, I've got an old raincoat at home. Maybe you could just use that because this money really should be towards the tax bill. And I stood there and I just prayed and I said, Father, is this how you want us to live? You know, we had nothing then. And I just said, we will, you know, if you want us to do this, that's fine. And I left the raincoat and I came home. And the next day was going to this Wet n Wild. And I went under the stairs to find this old raincoat. And as I opened the cupboard, under the stairs was one of these raincoats from the shop. I know it sounds weird, but this is what happened to me. My experience was one of these Umbro raincoats. It was one like with a zip from the bottom to the top. And I lifted the raincoat out and I looked at it. And then my mind was going, have we had this one given? Where's it come from? And then I said to Sam, you know, where's this raincoat from? And he said, I don't know. So I was a bit spooked, really. So I kind of rolled it up and put it in his bag. And he went off for the day to Wet n Wild the next day. And then he came back at the end of the day and then opened his bag up. And I took the raincoat out. And inside the bag was another raincoat. And it was the other raincoat that had a zip from here to the top. So the two raincoats I'd looked at in the shop actually were there. You know, I'd put one in the bag and then when he'd come back, the other raincoat was in the bag. And I said to Sam, is this your friend Alex's raincoat? And he said, no, he said Alex had his own raincoat. He said, we didn't actually need the raincoats. We didn't actually, you know, take them out the bag or anything. His mum was looking after the bags. So as you can imagine, I'm sort of kind of thinking, but to me that was, that the Father's love for me was saying, Margaret, you know, you don't need to worry about anything. I can provide for you. And those raincoats were his saying to me, you know, I'll give you them both, you know, I'll give you everything you need and more, really. I mean, actually, I didn't tell Martin, you know, I was a bit, because I've never experienced anything like that before. And, you know, to tell that story, some people might think I'm a bit weird or I've made it up or anything, but it was a real experience. And it was a couple of days later, we were praying about the money for the tax bill. And we were in a meeting and in the worship time and somebody came up to us and said, oh, I just feel the Lord wants me to give you this. And it was actually a cheque. And it was for £500, which was towards the tax bill. And then I remembered the raincoats. And I said to Martin when I got home, I said, actually, I'll just tell you this little story. And I told Martin, and we've got these raincoats out. But it sounds strange. But like Martin said, you know, sometimes God manifests things. And, you know, and it's a bit unusual, but an expression of his love and provision. Thank you.
Amazing, eh? Raincoats. I was wondering, I sort of wondered to myself, did an angel take it through the checkout? Or did it just appear, or what? The other day I was going to Canada and Estonia, and I opened the cupboard, I found one of these raincoats, brand new, one of them still unworn, never been used. And I just looked at it and sort of touched it, you know. I thought, awesome, an awesome God who can provide for us as supernaturally as he wants. You know, incredible. God's provision is a sign. And what it says to you is that I'm cared for. I'm cared for. God cares. He cares about the needs and the problems and the issues. And the last thing is just this. So the first thing was this, communication. God speaks and says, I love you. Affection, secondly. He touches us and fills us. Physically, emotionally. Thirdly, he provides for us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And when those things happen, we know the love of God personally in a unique way. And lastly, he uses us. There's inclusion. He doesn't just save us and give us a ticket to go to heaven. He's got a plan and a job for us. He gives us significance. You know, I matter, I'm wanted, I'm cared for, and also, I'm important. God's got a job for me. And it doesn't matter whether it's a small job or not. You know, I had an awesome experience in Canada, actually, that really blew me away and spoke to me personally about the love of God. Most of what I do is very small. This is a big church for me these days to be ministering in. It is. I work with a lot of very poor churches on the continent. Some of them are very struggling, very poor, very small. I encourage them and help them and so on and so on. And a lot of what I've done over the years has been quite small. While we were in Toronto, I went and visited this famous church, you know, the Toronto Church, the Arnott's Church. And, you know, there's thousands of people there. And the guy who's took over from John Arnott, who runs all their ministries now, and into North America, is a guy called Duncan Smith. And he was ministering. He was really anointed and powerful. And it was excellent. And we all got some prayer. And then, you know, when I got off the floor with my friend, I said, come on, let's get some more. So we went and followed this guy. And we said, hey, listen, Nate, will you pray for us again? We just thought that was great. And he said, yeah, yeah. And my name badge must have been turned around the other way. And he got all of my name badge turned around. And he went, Martin Ruddick. You're Martin Ruddick. I was looking around like,
and?
He said, you're my hero. He said, when I was a young lad, I lived at Oxford, and you came and preached at our church, and I came forward, and I've got on fire for God, and I've been on fire ever since. Martin Ruddick, will you pray for me? And I was like, if you won't. That was awesome. You know, I just thought, hilarious. You don't know what you're doing, do you? Just do the little things that God asks you to do. And he was saying to everyone all week, this is Martin Ruddick. I mean, just embarrassing. Took me at the office, John Arnott, Carol Arnott. This is Martin Ruddick, Martin Ruddick. I thought, this is hilarious. No one knows me in our town. It was God's sense of humour. And I walked away from that experience and God was going, see, it doesn't matter whether you write the books or get on the big platforms. It doesn't. What matters is that you just do what you're told. Just do your little bit. You'll never know where it goes. You'll maybe never know in this life. It doesn't matter. The angels don't get their excitement and value from what they do, rather from whom they serve. God says to one angel, go and look after the queen. Go and protect her. Then he comes back. Right, now go and protect this baby in Uganda. So the angel's not bothered. Whether it's the queen or a baby in Uganda, the angels get their joy. Because they're looking in the right direction. They see whom they're serving. Never despise small things. That's irrelevant. All that matters is that you do what God is asking you to do. Now listen, what's he asking you to do? Because he is asking you right now to do something significant. And he's got an important job for you to do. And it doesn't matter if it's small. Hallelujah. Isn't our Father good? Doesn't our Father love us? Doesn't he want to fill us with his Holy Spirit? Who wants God? Who would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's stand. Let's open our hands like this to our Heavenly Father for a hug, for a kiss, for a touch, for a word. Father, we just thank you this morning that you love us like you love Jesus, like you said over Jesus. He is my beloved son and I love him. Whom I love, you said. Lord, we love it when you speak to us. Father, Daddy God, will you speak to our hearts today? And heal us, Lord, of many hurts and lies. Overwhelm us, Holy Spirit, with your love. Father, we ask you to touch us. Even now, reach and touch us with your Holy Spirit. Come, Niagara of God, River of God, we welcome you. Come and refresh us. Lord, we want to start again. Saved by new birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Lord, save us by renewal. Renew us again. Save us again, Lord. Wash away all our sins in this awesome river. I just want you to imagine yourself walking into this river now. Just by faith, walking into a big, big, fast-flowing river that is actually here in this room right now. Jesus said, come and drink. I'm the source of this river. And open your hands to this river's force. Open your heart now. And if you're holding anything against anyone, if your hands are if one of your hands is holding someone, Jesus said if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. If that's you, if you've really been hurt, which is often a cause of dryness, you just open your hand now and say, Lord, I just let them go. Let them go down this river. Just open your hand and let the river take the pain and just forgive. Let God sort out the consequences. You open your hand so you can receive from God today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Lord. Oh, come more. We want more of you, Lord. We really do. We want more of you. Father God, we ask you to touch us with that big finger. Come and touch us, Lord. Some of us are just like that baby Esther, just surviving, desperate for growth in life. Touch us, Lord. Father, come and provide for us as well. Lift off burdens of fear and anxiety. And confirm your call again. Speak to us afresh. Refresh us and fling us back into the harvest full of life again. Where we've got tired and weary and lost our way. Okay, those of you who'd really like to receive more in prayer, you come and stand down here now. And we'll pray for you more. There's a ministry team here. Don't wait. Come and use the opportunity. There's an opportunity right now. Come and stand down here. Now, you want more of God. You're hungry for God. Quickly come. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. We're walking into our Father's arms. We're walking into our Father's presence. We're pushing in like the maid of the mist now. Right into the waterfall. Right into the presence of God where we'll be absolutely drenched. Where we can't but be affected. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to receive more of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, you come. Don't sit and wait. Don't stand and hesitate. If you know you want more of God, look, you're receiving him there, but if you want more, let him know you want more. Jesus said, ask, and you're going to receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Glory to God. Jesus, we ask you to breathe on us. As the Father sent you, you send us with your mighty breath, with that mighty rushing wind from heaven. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just going to invite the ministry team to come as well. I think you guys know who you are. Let's pray for these guys. Thank you, Lord. We're going to keep worshipping. If you want more, you come. You come, you come, you come. Just got a word for that lady there. What's her name? Is that your wife, Doug? Karen. Hilary. Hilary, last night I was in bed. And we've got this massive bed because we've got loads of kids. And it was empty apart from me and Margaret, which is unusual. But I was right on the edge of the bed. Right on the edge of the bed. And it was like uncomfortable really, and hanging on the edge, and I often sleep on the edge, I think, because there's so many kids there normally. And I just felt the Lord say, just come further on, there's lots more for you, you know. And I knew it was for someone this morning, and I think it's for you. And God's saying, look, just come away from the edge, you know, it's uncomfortable, it's hard work, just move, it's like step back into the Father's arms, and there's a rest, it's a wonderful rest going to come over you today. The Lord loves you very much, and he's going to give you a tremendous rest and take away all the edgy stuff and the tension. Lord, thank you for that. Holy Spirit, just bless our sister now. Let her just step back into your arms today and experience your awesome love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Should we just keep worshipping? Mike, is that all right? And let's keep receiving from the Holy Spirit. We'd love to pray for you and speak over you.